The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew and abode to a deserted place by himself. Crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages, buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. All that we can do to promote Marian devotion is always something very, very, very important. All the times and places we can really promote Mary. Because as St. Louis de Montfort says, Mary is the quickest, easiest, most efficacious way to the heart of God the Father. So what I'd like to do is give you a Marian panorama of where Mary is present at the end of July up until August 8th, and talk a little bit about the feast day we celebrate today. You're not going to find a saint that didn't have great devotion to Mary. So all of you are called to become saints. Did you know that? Like a universal call to holiness, Lumen Gentium chapter 5. We're all called to become saints. So why not choose the easiest passage through devotion to Mary? And this is the oblate charism to try to spread as much devotion to Mary as it possibly can. Okay, let's take Ignatius, St. Ignatius of Loyola. There's a whole series of encounters that he has with the Blessed Mother. Most likely he was given the grace of perfect chastity through his encounter with Mary in Montserrat. He spent the vigil that night with his sword standing before Mary, and he had problems with all the capital sins before his conversion. You know, he broke all the commandments, and if there are more commandments, he probably would have broken them too. I mean, he lived a pretty bad life. And then later on, you read through his autobiography, he just had a repugnance to the sins of the flesh. Where did that come from? Came from God, but through Mary. Who's the one that gave Ignatius the exercises in Montserrat? Through Mary. Do any of you know in the Church of Gesù in Rome the title that's given to Mary there? Okay, in Italian it's La Madonna della Strada. La Madonna della Strada. And even though Italian, La Madonna della Strada. Spanish is Santa Maria del Camino. Okay? Santa Maria del Camino, Our Lady of the Way. So, St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of the reasons why he became such a great saint was, because of God's grace, but through the full of grace. If you notice, these 10 days, you've got founders of congregations. You've got St. Ignatius, and who do we celebrate after St. Ignatius? We were in our retreat. You forgot, okay? It was St. Alphonsus, okay? St. Alphonsus and Maria Liguori. It's difficult for you to find in the church a saint that had greater love for Mary than St. Alphonsus. I remember talking with Father Larry about this. I said, you know, the greatest work ever written on Mary was by this saint. He said, no, I think it's probably another saint. Who? Saint Louis de Montfort. Okay, let's flip a coin, okay? Yeah, okay, de Montfort, yes. But Alfonso Liguori. Saint Alfonso Liguori had great love for Mary. Maybe some of you know that Mark Twain was a great American writer. Mark Twain, who wrote Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. We had to read that in the days where we had to read classical literature, you know, years ago. I don't know what they read today, no? But the greatest work of Mark Twain was St. Joan of Arc. Do you know that? And St. Joan of Arc, I mean, Mark Twain, he wasn't even a believer, but he admired her so much that he spent a lot of time in writing that masterpiece and get it from Ignatius Press, no? St. Joan of Arc, no? The greatest masterpiece of St. Alphonsus was by far, of course, The Glories of Mary. He's the most prolific writer in the Catholic Church with Augustine, but his masterpiece was The Glories of Mary. Please get that book and read it. You hear me? You didn't hear me. Okay, I'll say it again. Please get that book and read it. If you're coming to an Oblate Parish, obey me. That is probably the greatest spiritual masterpiece ever written on the Blessed Virgin Mary. You cannot open that book and read it, and fire comes out of it. Fire comes out of it. The fire of the love of St. Alphonsus, no? So you cannot read that in which your devotion to Mary is not going to be enkindled. Okay, listen to this. Are you listening? Okay. St. Alphonsus says this. The principal reason why Catholics lose fervor, passion for Christ, they become lukewarm, because they lose devotion to Mary. You hear me? So the principal reason today why so many Catholics are mediocre, they're lukewarm, is because there's no love for Mary. And until my dying day, I've made a commitment, I'm going to try to get as many people to love Mary as possible until I die. Can you do that also? Hello? You do it too. You lay people, do it too. Do all you can to get, as the Filipinos say, Mama Mary, La Virgen de Guadalupe. We've got cultures here that the Marian presence is in your heart. Spread it. Like Juan Diego. Remember Juan Diego? After he met Our Lady, he couldn't talk to Mary enough. So hopefully Juan Diego, St. Alphonsus, Ignatius, their prayers will set our hearts on fire. Yesterday we celebrated St. John Vianney, no? The name of your son who's chosen as a priest. No, Judy? Vianney. Did you know he had devotion to Mary? Let me tell you a little story in the life of the Curie of Ars. If you've ever read his life by Trochu, which is the best. He's about to die. And then he's in his room, and someone looking in the keyhole, spying him. And the Blessed Mother was talking to him. You know what the conversation was? You'd be surprised. There was someone in the parish, a woman that was very sick, and she was a hunchback. And she helped out a little bit in the parish there to, I think it was the rectory in the church, to clean up a little bit, but she was a hunchback. And the Curie of Ars, with tears in his eyes, was saying to Mary, who appeared to him, said, please, before I die, help this poor hunchback lady. She's suffering so much. And the woman was there in the corridor. I think she was the one who was actually kind of spying him. She got up, and he was praying so fervently. She is walking down the corridor. Are you watching me? She's walking like this. And when Keeravai has finished his prayer, she's walking like this. Power of Mary. True story. Power of Mary. How many people today are morally hunchbacks? Jorobado en forma moral in Spanish, huh? What, 95%? Let's pray that the moral hunchbacks of the world would straighten up through Mary's prayers. Amen? Do any of you know what happened August 6, 1978? You graduated from the university? No, almost, okay. It was the death of Paul VI. Ever hear of Paul VI? So you're going to have three popes within 2 months. So Paul VI, who's a saint, he died tomorrow in 1978. I don't know about you people, but I love Paul VI. Great pope. Great pope. Did he write on Mary? When I was a seminarian, we studied Mariales Cultus. You got to read it. Do you know what Mariales Cultus is? It is a apostolic exhortation. Mary's presence in the liturgy, in the Mass, from Advent all the way through the church calendar. Mary's presence. I invite you to also, after you finish reading Glories of Mary, read Mariales Cultus. Okay? Great book. That's an easy one. That's an easy one to follow. So Mariales Cultus of Paul VI. The devotion to Mary present in the liturgy. All right. We go 3 days from today, we celebrate another great Marian saint. Great Marian saint. And his name is one of the most prestigious universities in the Philippines, Santo Tomas. You've heard of it? Okay. We celebrate Saint Dominic. Saint Dominic Guzman. And he is the founder of the Dominicans and his great love, what, for the rosary? For the rosary. So we're living in a time in the church year where there's a lot of Marian devotion. Maybe it's implicit, but for me, implicit is explicit if you talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay? And finally today we celebrate the dedication of the oldest church in Christianity dedicated to Mary. And its name is Our Lady of Saint Mary Major, or Our Lady of the Snows. Okay? Okay, this is the context. Back in the 15th century, there was a heretic that was spreading poison throughout the church. And his name was Nestorius. Okay? Nestorius. And Nestorius, I'm not going to give you a class in theology, but Nestorius denied the Theotokos. He denied the fact that Mary is the Mother of God. And he was poisoning a lot of Catholics. Because the dogmas of the Catholic Church, little by little, they became clear. Cardinal Newman calls this the development of doctrine. Okay? It wasn't clear off the bat. So Pope Sixtus called together a council. It was called the Council of Ephesus, where the Blessed Virgin Mary lived with John the Evangelist until she was taken up to heaven. And because of Saint Cyril of Alexandria, who was an Eastern father of the church from Egypt, Cyril of Alexandria, they proclaimed dogmatically the Theotokos. The Theotokos, which means Mary is the Mother of God. And the people rejoiced. They walked through the streets of Rome with these torches. What happened was they had already built the church in Rome on the Esquiline Hill. Any of you ever been to Rome? The Esquiline Hill. Okay. But some very important people had a dream in which the Blessed Mother said, I want you to build my church on the Esquiline Hill. And I'll give you a proof that I want this. Okay, what would happen if I told you tomorrow when you get up, August 6th, right? You get up in the morning and you go out to start to walk, you're going to find snow in the streets of Los Angeles. Or in Manila. Or Cebu. You'd say, hoo-hoo, 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 loco, loco. You think that I'm crazy. The same thing, you never... I was in Rome for many years. There was actually a little bit of snow back in 1984 in Rome, which is the first time in, what, 50 years, no? It simply doesn't snow in Rome. But snow fell on the top of the Esquiline Hill, okay? So everyone understood. Mary said that there's going to be snow descending in Esquiline Hill as a sign that she wanted. So there was another, there was a church that they built, one of the most majestic churches in the world dedicated to Mary is St. Mary Major. That's where I went for my, I had my confessor in St. Mary Major, or the Dominicans. So, there's much that can be said on this, but that's the principal major basilica in the world dedicated to Mary. What did Pope Francis do shortly after he was elected Pope? Any of you know? He went there and he consecrated pontificate to the Blessed Mother. What did John Paul II do? Salus Populus Romano, okay? He consecrated his pontificate to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the popes will go there, they'll kneel down with a bouquet of roses and they'll dedicate their pontificate to the Blessed Virgin Mary in St. Mary Majors. That is the principal Marian Basilica in the world. And that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the church, but also we're celebrating the greatest Marian dogma in the church is the Theotokos, which we call Mary is Mother of God. So I hope all of you have great love for Mary. Do you? Up at a notch. Up at a notch. Starting today, we're going to start to skyrocket in our devotion to Mary. And if we do that, it's the quickest way to the heart of Christ, and it's the quickest way to heaven. Amen.